Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio from the International, from the Venice Film Festival. I'm Angela Cerbi, and I'm here to talk about a very special part of the Venice Production Bridge section, which is the program Final Cut in Venice. I'm here with Alessandro Speciale. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are the head, the founder, the brain behind... The curator of Final Cut in Venice. Can you just tell us briefly what it's about?
Yeah, it's a post-production event devoted to Africa and Arab countries. This year was the 9th edition, so it's not new, but it's new in Venice. It was the first time, you know, that the market in Venice dedicated such a big attention to cinema coming from Africa and Arab countries. And this year we are very happy because we had a good balance of films coming from sub-Saharan Africa, that is, doesn't happen so often, and Arab films. Normally we receive more or less every year 50-60 films in post-production coming from these regions, and we select 6 films, work in progress, in different stage. Sometimes it's a rough cut or an assembly of sequences, and then we bring the film, the filmmakers, the producer to Venice, and we show the film. We have a Q&A, we invite industry people, you know, to see the film, and the goal is, you know, to launch them in the market. Normally they don't have world sales, so they can find the world sales, and also a festival director interested to give them a very good world premiere.
Okay, so you have many projects, there are many partners too. There are a series of awards given to many films in terms of money, post-production help of any kind. But there is, and then there is a winner. Among all those winners, there is another one which says if there be another winner, that this year has been given to Hanging Gardens of Ahmed Yassin Al-Daraji, that's here with us. Good morning, Ahmed.
Good morning, Andrew.
And so you received this award. Just tell us something about the film. What is the film about, in 5 words? Even more than 5.
It's about a little boy, 13 years old boy called Asad, who works in the rubbish dump of Baghdad, where he finds a human-sized robotic sex doll left by the American in the dump. And basically he starts his journey with it, taking it home and facing the religious, social norms, culture in Baghdad, in a very conservative Baghdadi neighborhood.
Listen, how was your experience with the Final Cut in Venice program?
We call
you can be honest, even if Alessandro is here, you know.
we call in the Arab region, and we call Final Cut as a golden bridge to the international audience. I think it's the first, as an Arabs and in the region, it's the first gate that we look to be open to the international world. It's fantastic. I met so many very important people. I've learned so much from knowing from people, the stories that are in there, and I'm really looking forward being there for so many times.
Listen, what is the... your film is about this kid, you say, that found this robot left by Americans. So in these specific times, the concept of occupation, of international help, if we can call it so, it depends, it's really urgent, it's really on the spot. What is the feeling in Baghdad about this? What was your goal?
Wow, you put the phrase help... But it's actually not, to be honest.
I just did the quote word.
The first time I've seen the American, I was like you. I felt Baghdad back in 2003. Mm-hmm. I felt they come for help. But by the time we realize it's not, it's absolutely mm-hmm. not. The film represents two generation, pre-occupation generation and after the occupation generation. It's very authentic story. It talks from the Iraqi perspective to what happened through all that years post-war. For, it's It's funny enough because I can relate to what happened to Afghanistan lately. I mean, it's almost the same, you know, to what the American left behind, whether obviously they leave chaos only, for me at least.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
and that's how I can relate to it. Also, the film is a very metaphoric film. I have the American sex doll represents the American existence as a culture, military in Iraq, and how Iraqis sees that. I have the tanks represent the war that Iraq been through. I have the two characters, one young and one elderly, represent two generation post and pre-war. So I can say it's a very current story. It tells the story of the Iraqi youth right now.
You are also a producer. You have a production company, and we don't know that much about the life and the livelihood of the cinematographic community in Iraq. There are productions. Not much gets to the Western world. So can you tell us something more about that? There is also a streak of a good TV production. There are a lot of irony and comedy too, coming out from your country, I mean, producing your country. So this is probably an aspect that we, the Westerns, we don't know much about.
This is a very important question, to be honest, and I think I might take long to answer the question.
Be free to talk.
Iraqi film is the industry established in the 1920 when the British occupied Iraq back at colonialism time. And we had very fantastic industry. We have the first film lab in the Middle East. It's in Baghdad. We have films a fantastic film being promoted worldwide. But lately when, we call it in Iraq, military influence start taking over the system in Baghdad, unfortunately it start failing bit by bit. For example, we talk about Saddam. He was basically pushing all the students, film students, to go to join the army to do films, propaganda films, about the war and how to praise Saddam and how to praise the Ba'ath party in Iraq. And by this time, and the way how the system in Iraq, whether the Ba'athist or the Communist Party by Qasim, handled the culture system, we lost the audience. It's when you lose the faith on the image and you know it's a propaganda image, you can't really go to the cinema.
Yeah.
And that's what happened exactly in Iraq. And by after the eight years of war with Iran, we ended up, we don't have films because it's funny enough, you know, we had sanctions in Iraq. The United Nations imposed sanctions on Iraq. And one of the things that Iraq were not allowed to import a film stock because it has a chemical material in it. And they were afraid Saddam make mass destruction from the film stock, you know. See what I mean? And the cinema halls start losing basically their audience that they wanted to make money. Unfortunately, they start screening porn films. And you know, it's a Muslim culture, conservative culture, etc., etc. And we gradually lost the audience completely. I mean, it took me, it was so hard for me to be a filmmaker because the reputation being a filmmaker because of the porn films that have been screened for the few 20 years, it's crazy. I mean, my dad refused to let me to study films. Because it's bad reputation. You do movies relate to sexual stuff porno and... Mm-hmm. It's a gypsy life, you know, that he don't like. And I have a very traditional Iraqi family. By then, we had never experienced any films. You know, the Blue Gate, Iraq were not allowed to import a banana to the country because of Iraq was isolated for literally 11 years by the rest of the world. And you guys here were heading towards civilization, more modern life, while Saddam, he put us as an Iraqi population in a prison and we don't know anything. Yeah. We're not allowed to see satellite. We're not allowed to have a phone, a mobile phone. In 2003, it was my first time seeing a mobile phone. No movies, basically. Saddam was screening just propaganda films praising him, his party and his victory, you know, 24/7, and he get brainwashed through that. I think, and he did good, to be honest. I mean, it's crazy how he used the film industry to push his influence on people. I have one of the articles that I've been researching, writing about. It's basically the cinema between war and authorities. How can it influence? And it's I have a documentary that I'm trying to work on. We got to 2003. It was completely different world. Basically, you isolate a child from playing in a playground,
and then all of a sudden,
and suddenly everything comes. It was so crazy.
Oh, I can imagine.
We're not ready at all. We're not ready to deal with.
Yeah, you get too much.
Exactly.
All
so
of a sudden,
you get extreme. I mean, you get so crazy, and it's funny. By nature, we Arabs, I'm Iraqi. You know, we it's hard to find the middle point. It's either far left or far right. We're both extreme. That's, I mean, the influence of 2003. The experience of what the rest of the world was doing was so bad. That's why we're struggling to. There is a huge gap, and which I tried to do it in the film, a huge gap between my generation and my dad's generation.
Yeah. But how is the situation now? I mean, how easy or and free and is making movies now in Iraq? I mean, was it difficult for you to make Hanging Gardens, or was like more like a regular difficulties? Like in the movie world, all over the planet.
I mean, it's
they shoot in the dam. So I mean, they shoot in the dam. So I think not only Iraq, but also the location was particularly.
I was telling Alessandra 2 days ago about the story how we imported the dolls to Iraq. You know, we don't have it. We're not allowed, and we're not allowed to talk about sexual items, or elements in anything. So we ordered the dolls from Canada, from China. It went to Canada and then stuck in Canada because we can't really import it. We need permission paperwork. One of the ideas that I had, I'm not going to name his name, with an Iraqi ambassador somewhere in the West. He was about to help me to smuggle the dolls with a diplomatic package to Baghdad so I can have the doll into that. But unfortunately, he left his position, so I had to work really hard. I mean, it took us basically the Prime Minister office signature, the secret agencies, signature, so many permissions. And the doll was stuck at Baghdad airport for 3 months. We didn't know what to do, but later on, with fight for the permission, they let the dolls for a temporary entry to Iraq. And if we don't send the dolls back out of Iraq, we go to prison. And that's what the company signed for.
So this kind of influenced a little bit your shooting schedule, I believe.
I kept changing so much. I kept changing. I mean, until last minute, to be honest. We were about to change from the doll to something else. And I've been... Oh, funny enough, you know, I've been searching for sex magazines. I have sex magazines in the film, you know, where the child, he sells sex magazines. I swear to you guys... It's 3 weeks of searching. I found one magazine left by the American, and we paid $150 to get that magazine, and not to cut it, to send it back as it is.
Yeah. Like the doll. Yeah. So you have to send everything back. Yeah. The doll, the magazine.
It was shocking to me. I mean, Baghdad has 4 million. Personage, you know, and
it's really interesting what this story. We could talk for hours about this, and it's really intriguing to know this before watching the movie, because the movie will get an additional value after these stories. Well, thank you very much. Thanks a lot to Harmaya Yassin Al-Daraji, the director of Hanging Gardens, who won the Biennale Award at the final cut in Venice. Thank you to Alessandra Speciale for having been the hand and then the heart behind this program. I'm Angela Cerbi from Venice, from Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.